This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me today for another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime stories. We'll start off this week with the Crime Club. We'll hear their episode from April 24th, 1947, titled The Topaz Flower. After that, it's Broadway Is My Beat and the Lois Conrad Murder Case, his story from April 12th, 1952.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. The Topaz Flower. Yes, we have that Crime Club story for you. Come right over. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable? The book is on this shelf. Here it is. The Topaz Flower by Charlotte M. Russell. The exciting story of a flower that was plucked by the hand of death. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. It was a little after 7 o'clock in the evening. The family and friends were scattered through the rather austere house, and Mr. Sloan was even more than usually indifferent to their comfort and his responsibility as host. Wally Kent was the only person there who did not fear the old man. He even admitted to himself that he liked him in a strange sort of way, and that was good, especially as the Sloans were inclined to be clannish, and Wally intended to propose to Natalie if he could find her. After having looked everywhere else for her, he finally decided to try Mr. Sloan's room. Perhaps she had been closeted with her uncle. Standing at the door, he hesitated. Then, squaring his shoulders, he knocked.
Mr. Sloan! Mr. Sloan, is Natalie there? Mr. Sloan! Hey, Mr. Sloan. Oh, it's locked. Natalie! Mr. Sloan! Natalie, darling. I've been looking all over the house for you. The party... Well, honey, what's the matter?
Let me go, Wally.
Oh, but listen.
Let me go, I tell you.
Oh, what the... Mr. Sloan. Oh, my good gosh. Natalie, what were you doing?
Did you call Mr. Sloan... Oh, Mr. Kent. Oh.
Take it easy, Barbara.
Oh, but he's murdered. Mr. Sloan has been murdered.
Get to the phone, Barbara, right away. Call Captain Tom Vane of the Homicide Bureau. Tell him what's happened. He'll be here right away.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and Barbara, just see that nobody leaves until he gets here, will you?
Well, sir, I don't know, but I'll try, sir. Poor Mr. Sloan.
And if you see Miss Natalie, tell her to come up here, please. It's very important.
Captain Bane is here, Mr. Kent.
Oh, thanks, Barr. Bring him right in here.
Yes, sir. Come in, please, Captain.
Thank you.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Wally. Here, you got a murder here.
Got a dead man anyway, Tom.
Let's have a look.
Right in here.
He's dead, all right. Harry Sloan, huh?
Yeah.
Nobody saw it done, I suppose.
As far as I know.
Now, let's see. Two glasses. Drinking with somebody.
Looks like it.
Wonder who?
Search me.
Anybody in here besides you?
No. Oh, yes, there was, too. Young Raymond Sloan, his nephew.
Hmm?
Came roaring in when the news got out that the old gentleman was dead. I kept the others out.
Well, maybe we can get some prints off those glasses.
Yeah. Oh, say, though, Raymond Sloan picked up one of the glasses. This one.
Picked it up? What for?
Well, he was kind of upset and he wanted a drink.
So he just grabbed the glass, poured a shot into it.
Yes, and smeared the prints all over the place, Don. The luck, I always get the tough jobs. Why couldn't he have picked up the old gentleman's glass?
Well, how would he know which was which?
Yeah, I got something there. Well, thanks anyway. Let's go see these folks, shall we?
Sure. Downstairs and to your right. I'll show you.
The old man had a lot of dough, didn't he?
He was pretty well off.
Is this the room?
That's right.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you please. I'm Captain Tom Bain of the Homicide Bureau. I know Wally Kent here, but you others. Will you please tell me who you are? You first, sir.
I'm Bauer, the butler, sir.
No?
I'm Maria Sloan, Mr. Sloan's sister-in-law.
And I'm his son, Raymond Sloan.
Clarinda Bell, Mr. Sloan's secretary.
And this gentleman here in the corner?
Joe Bannister. I'm an old friend of Harry Sloan.
Shouldn't there be someone else?
Well, Natalie.
My daughter.
Where's she?
Well, I think she...
Sorry, I'm late. I'm Natalie Sloan.
All right. Now sit down, please, everybody. Let's just check those names again so I know to whom I'm talking. Bauer, the butler.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Maria Sloan.
Yes.
And Miss Clarinda Bell.
I'm right here.
See, and you're Joe Bannister.
I am.
Miss Natalie Sloan.
Yes.
Have I forgotten anybody? Oh, yes. Raymond Sloan.
Present.
And me.
Mm-hmm. Wally Kent. Okay, here we go. We know that Mr. Sloan was shot about 7:15 by someone with a revolver with a silencer. He had been drinking in his locked room with someone who apparently killed him and took the topaz flower. What is the topaz flower?
It's a jewel, a cluster of jewels, a family heirloom.
Easily recognizable, Miss Natalie?
Oh, yes.
The topaz flower is also a gold mine in Canada that Harry Sloan and I discovered.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bannister.
You're welcome.
Now, let's just check what each of you were doing when, Wally Kent?
I discovered the body, Captain. I was looking for Natalie and...
Where were you, Miss Natalie?
I was dressing,
but...
What?
Well, I didn't say anything.
Okay. You, young man, Raymond Sloan.
I was having a drink in the living room, down here.
He's always having a drink, aren't you, Ray?
What were you doing, Mr. Bannister?
I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember. I see.
I was downstairs here all the time.
You're the secretary, Clarinda Bell.
Yes. And may I go home?
You may not. You, Mrs. Sloan?
Me? I was dressing. You can ask my maid.
I will. And the butler?
I was in the front hall all evening, sir.
Mm-hmm. Wally, you're supposed to be an amateur detective. What's your theory since you found the body? Was there anybody else in the room?
Not when I found the body, Captain, no.
Well, how'd you get in there if the door was locked?
What?
I said, how did you get in there if the door was locked?
Oh, that.
Yeah, that.
Well, I never thought of that, Tom. Well, one minute the door was locked and then it was unlocked.
Mm.
That's right, I never thought of that.
There must have been somebody in there.
There sure must have been.
And you didn't see anybody when you went in?
No. No, I didn't see anybody.
Well, perhaps whoever it was got out through the French doors that open on the terrace.
Oh, they were locked, Mrs. Sloan.
Were there any fingerprints on the glasses that they were drinking out of?
Well, thanks to young Mr. Sloan here, no. He smeared his own prints all over him.
Well, I was only trying to help.
Oh, great help. Well, whoever killed Mr. Sloan took the topaz flower, I suppose.
Oh, that couldn't have been the motive for the murder. It was only worth about $5,000.
Only $5,000. Mrs. Sloan, you'd be surprised what people will do for $5,000. Wait a minute. Young Mr. Sloan, how are you treated in your father's will?
What? What do you mean? Do you mean...
Easy, lad. Do you come into a lot of money?
If he does, Captain, so does practically everybody in the room here. Maria here is his sister-in-law. Natalie's his favorite niece. Bauer's been an employee of Sloan's for...
28 years, sir.
I know I'm provided for in his will. Everybody here except Wally Kent stands to benefit by the will.
How about you, Wally? You and Miss Natalie, I take it.
Tom, could it be that the murderer took the topaz flower to direct suspicions along another line?
It certainly could be, Mr. Kent.
Ah, Miss Clarinda Bell. Incidentally, you didn't say anything when Bannister was talking about people who might profit by...
No. I stood to lose a great deal by Mr. Sloane's death.
Oh, you mean he wasn't going to do the right thing by his secretary?
By his first will, yes. First
what?
Will? Why?
What do you mean? There was only...
Now, hold it. What do you mean by that, Miss Bell?
Mr. Sloane dictated a new will to me only a week ago.
Why didn't you tell me this before?
You didn't ask me, Captain.
Well, I don't believe it.
I don't either.
Miss Natalie, what do you think?
Well, I don't know
Oh,
what...
wait a minute. Let's find out about this new will.
Yes, by all means. What did you mean about losing by the terms of the new will? Will you explain that, please?
I will. Mr. Sloane and I were to be married.
Why, that's ridiculous.
And the new will named Clarinda Bell Sloane, his wife, as the principal beneficiary. However, since I'm still Clarinda Bell, probably always will be, you see...
Where is this will, Miss
In the safe, Mr. Sloane's office. So, Captain, now that I've demonstrated that I have no possible motive, do you suppose I might go home?
Sure. Sure, you can go home. I'll be in touch with you.
Thank you. Good night.
Oh, wait. Wait.
Good night.
Well, people, looks as if we're out of luck.
No, we're not out of luck yet, Joe. That second will can't be probated, so the first one is still good.
Oh, no, my dear. The intent of the will is the thing. We're still out of luck.
I didn't know there was another will.
Telephone, Captain Bain. Headquarters calling, sir.
Oh, thanks. The rest of you clear out for a few minutes. Bauer, see that they don't run all over the place and get lost.
Oh, yes, sir.
Hello. Oh, you did? No, hold it a minute till these people get out of here. All right, let's go, please. Let's go.
Natalie.
What, Wally?
Come in here a minute, will you?
Where?
Here in this room. I want to ask you something. No, wait. Let's see if there's anybody in here. No. Come on.
What do you want?
Now, honey, look at me. What were you doing in your uncle's room when he was shot?
I don't know what you mean.
Nat, darling, this guy Bain is a sharp cop. Now, look, I can't cover up for you all the time.
Do you mean you think I shot Uncle Harry?
Darling, no, but I mean, you were in there with the door locked. You unlocked it yourself. I nearly got caught when Bain asked me how I got in.
You're not going to tell him, Wally.
Natalie, darling, listen, please.
Oh, Wally, can't I? I've been looking all over. Excuse me. Wally, I want to see you.
Oh, excuse me, Natalie. I'll see you later, huh? Okay, Tom. What now?
Sorry, Miss Natalie. Wally, we found the topaz flower.
You what?
Yeah. John Jarbo of the Hawk Shop Squad just called. That was the phone call. Found it in the shop 6 blocks from here, and he's bringing the owner and the topaz flower first thing tomorrow morning.
Well, I'll be... Says fast work, Tom.
Yeah, it sure is, isn't it? Says a woman hawked it.
A woman?
You suppose somebody could have gotten out of the house, run over to the Hawk Shop, and...
Well, what did the woman look like, Tom?
Well, the fella said she was wearing a green hat, a purple scarf, and she had red hair.
Red hair?
Huh?
Oh, well, thank goodness there's no red-headed women in this house.
Now think again, Wally. And maybe a red wig.
I got Miss Bell on the telephone, Captain. Mm-hmm. She's on the way over. I told her what you said about the woman pawning the topaz flower, sir.
Well, where's Mr. Kent this morning?
Well,
I was looking for Natalie, Tom.
Mm.
Where's the topaz flower?
Be here any minute. Now, look here. You're supposed to be an amateur, Dick. This looked like an inside job to you?
I don't know, Tom.
It does to me.
Who do you...
Well, this son of his.
Ray?
Hmm?
Well, he's kind of a young fellow they call a ne'er-do-well in detective stories. Drinking, gambling, women, you know.
Yeah. If he knocked off the old man, he sure made a mistake. How'd they get along? Not good, I hear.
That's right. But I doubt he's got the nerve to do such a thing.
And that sister-in-law, Maria.
Well, now, she's kind of malicious. But she's harmless.
Mm-hmm. Well, you pick out the murderer.
Oh, no, Don, not for me. Not me.
I wondered if you would like some coffee, gentlemen.
Oh, no thanks. Bauer, that's your name, isn't it?
Yes.
But you can tell the rest of the people I want them in here now, please.
Very good, sir. Very
The guy snoops.
Oh, no. Not Bauer.
Well, how do you know he wasn't listening at the door?
Well, I...
Yeah, when you've been in this game as long as I... Ah, doorbell.
Bauer will get it.
Must be nice to be so rich.
And get murdered?
Yeah. Ah, that's right, too.
A police officer, Captain, and another, person.
Hmm? Oh, hello, Jabbo.
Morning, Captain.
Nice work, kid.
Yeah. This here is Dorn, the hotshot fella.
Oh, good. Come on, we'll go in the other room where we have these people. There's more room in there. Everybody in there, Bauer?
Yes, sir. They're waiting for you.
Okay. In here, Jabbo. Dorn. Well, Dorn? Either one of these two ladies?
Nope. Not neither of them.
You sure?
Absolutely. I'd recognize that woman out of a million. Red hair, kind of deep voice, a green hat, purple scarf.
Just what is this, please, Captain Bain?
Jabbo, give us a stone.
Yes, sir.
Why, it's the topaz flower.
Where did it come from?
Where did you get it?
Yeah.
A woman with red hair.
And a green hat and a purple scarf with a deep voice.
All right. It was hawked at this man's place last night.
A woman with red hair and
That's enough. You say it wasn't either of these ladies now?
Positively. I'd know her in a minute.
Okay. Take them back, Jabbo.
Okay. Come on, lad.
Is that all, Captain?
That's all. Much obliged.
You're welcome.
Well, I must say, Captain.
Hush, Mother.
Say, Captain, as long as this fellow's trying to identify women for you, hadn't you better keep him here till Miss Bell gets here? Just to make it come out even, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's,
Hey, Captain.
What's the matter with you now?
Look. The green hat and the purple scarf. I found it.
Where'd you get that?
Well, that's my hat.
And my scarf.
Now, wait a minute. Let's see that.
It was right there on that thing in the hall. I never noticed it when I come in, but when I went out, there it was. And I knew it right away. Look. Look, I bet there's maybe a red hair in it someplace. Look, huh?
Well, what do you know? It is a red hair. Or am I colorblind, Ken?
No. It's red, all right.
Well, Aunt Maria, now who's in the suit?
Well, I haven't seen that purple scarf in a week.
Well, the lady that hocked the jewelry wore it.
Natalie, when did you wear this hat last?
Why, it was in my room. How'd it get down here?
Young lady, I think we're going to have a lot of fun finding out.
But I didn't...
No. It wasn't her. Not her.
The hat and the scarf might have been lent to someone.
You make another remark like that.
I'll let him alone, please, Mrs. Sloan. Now, shut that door, Bauer. Now, wait and see who that is.
Yes, sir.
Probably Miss Bell, Mr. Bannister.
Now, see here, Captain.
Hold it for a minute or two.
Mr. Joseph Bannister.
Ah. Come in. Bannister, we found the topaz flower.
What?
Yes. It was pawned at Mr. Dorn's shop last night.
By a red-headed woman in this green hat.
Yeah. Do either of you know any red-haired women?
I know one in Calgary, Captain.
Bauer.
Yes, sir.
Will you take the gentleman somewhere for a few minutes, please? I want to talk to these two ladies.
Yes, sir. This way, gentlemen, if you please.
What are you going to do?
I'll call you when I want you, Mr. Sloan. Let's go.
Want me to go, too?
No. You stay here.
Thanks. Sit down, Natalie.
Thank you, Wally.
How long before you'll want us?
I'll call you.
Nat, is that your hat, really?
Yes, of course. I think that man must be crazy.
Well, I think it's something the police have cooked up to try to scare us into...
Scare you into what, Mrs. Sloan? What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Sit down, Mrs. Sloan. Now, are you sure you haven't lent that scarf to someone recently?
Ridiculous.
And you, Miss Sloan, your hat...
The hat's been in my room for weeks. I haven't worn it in I don't know when.
I see. Well, Brother Kent, it was an inside job after all, wasn't it?
It certainly looks like it, all right. But I don't think...
Go and ask the men to come back, will you?
I'll go, if I may. I want to get a handkerchief and...
No, wait. Oh, never mind.
Wally, you don't think...
It doesn't make any difference what Mr. Kent thinks, Miss Sloan. I'm the one...
Oh, no!
Mother!
Come on.
Mother!
Natalie, get back. It's Maria.
And Clorinda Bell. They're dead. They're murdered.
Yeah!
How is Mrs. Sloan now?
She'll be all right, Captain, but the shock...
Yeah, I know.
May I go up to her now, please?
Sit down a moment, if you will. I won't keep you long.
But...
Sit down, please.
Here, let me help you, Natalie.
How did Miss Bell get in the house?
Why, she had a key. She often came out here to work with Uncle Harry.
I see. Do you know how she was murdered?
She was stabbed, wasn't she?
Yes. And when your mother saw her, she fainted.
Well, what would you do?
Faint, probably. Miss Sloan, this pencil was lying under Miss Bell's body. You ever see it before?
Well, that's my pencil.
Oh, it is? Miss Sloan, belongings of yours seem to turn up everywhere. Your green hat, your pencil.
But I was in here, and I lost that pencil 3 weeks ago.
Oh?
No, see here, Ben.
That'll do from you. Now, look, Natalie, I'm reasonably sure you didn't murder Miss Bell, but you wouldn't have lent the pencil...
Please.
Stop it, Bane.
I told you I lost it.
This is a very odd pencil. You pull the end off, there's an eraser.
I know that.
It's got another trick, too.
I don't know what you mean.
Now, look. You pull the eraser off.
A knife. A little knife.
Yeah, a little knife with blood on it. Miss Sloan, who murdered Clarinda Bell with your knife?
Now, look here, Bane.
Shut up. Take it easy, Kent. Answer my question, young lady.
I tell you, I don't know anything about it.
All right. You can go up to your room. But stay there, will you?
I'll take you up, Natalie.
No, you stay here. I want to talk to you for a minute. Go ahead, Natalie.
Captain
I'll
Bain...
see you later.
All right.
I don't get it.
She didn't do it, Bain.
No, I don't think so either. But who did? Well... here's the stuff from Clarinda Bell's purse. Keys, lipstick, cigarette case, address book, matches, papers. Well.
What?
Hey, look at this card. Read it.
I remember the Christmas party 6 years ago just as well as you do. Well, what is it? Christmas card or something?
I wouldn't know. What? What's this? Last will and testament of Harrison Sloan.
Yeah, but where's the rest of it?
Somebody wanted that will badly enough to knock off the old girl for it. Now, just who could that be?
We're just as badly off as we were before.
Yeah, yeah.
Except...
Captain Bain, Mr. Bannister would like to speak to you.
Oh, sir. Bannister, send him in.
Yes.
Well, how you doing, Cap?
Oh.
All right.
Don't kid me, Cap.
Oh, yeah, you've been drinking.
Sure. Makes me think.
Well, what do you think you want?
Makes me remember things.
Oh, isn't that fine? Like what?
Like things I see.
Come on.
I was out in the garden for a breath of fresh air by the time Harry got killed.
And?
I looked up at Harry's room. French doors, you know. Know who was sitting there with him?
Oh.
Girl.
What girl?
You look around, you'll find out. Young girl.
Bannister, are you insinuating?
No, just telling you. Goodbye.
Hey, wait a minute.
Nope. Goodbye.
What do you think of that?
Why, that old...
Hold your horses. He's not so drunk. But, why did he...
Hey, wait a minute.
Now what?
He didn't see anybody in that room.
What do you mean?
Well, didn't you see those French windows?
What do you mean?
They're covered with frost all the way from top to the bottom in this cold weather.
Well, I'd be... That's right. Nobody could see in.
Of course they couldn't.
That's right. Now, what do you suppose...
All I know is he couldn't have seen in that room.
Bob, you've got the makings of a detective after all. But why would he want to throw suspicion on Natalie?
I wonder. Say, maybe he meant Clarinda.
Nah, he said a young woman.
He was a little drunk.
Mm-mm. I don't think Clarinda did it. Anyway, the hock shop man said she wasn't the one that had the topaz flower.
Yeah, that's right. What about that card, though?
The Christmas card?
Now, let's see it again.
Yeah.
I remember the Christmas Eve party 6 years ago just as well as you do. Bane, I've got an idea.
That's swell.
Ring for Bauer.
Huh. Okay.
You rang, sir?
Yes, come in here, Bauer. Close the door.
Yes, sir?
Bauer, you've been here a long time.
Yes, sir.
Were you here at a Christmas party 6 years ago?
That would be 1941. Yes, sir, of course.
Who else of these people was here? Mrs. Sloan, Natalie?
No, sir, they were in California. Let me see. Why, I think Mr. Sloan and Miss Bell and Mr. Bannister...
Anything special happened that night?
Special, sir?
Something Miss Bell might remember, for instance.
Let me think, sir. Why, yes, sir. Yes, indeed, sir. Very funny.
What?
It was Mr. Bannister, sir.
Bannister?
What did he do?
Well, sir, he was rather tight. And he came downstairs wearing a woman's dress and a red wig.
A red wig?
Oh, yes, sir, I remember perfectly. Oh, he was a scream.
Bauer, go out and ask Mr. Bannister to step in here, will you?
Yes, sir. I hope you won't tell him...
Snappy, Bauer, please.
Yes, sir.
Kent, nice going.
It all seems so simple, Captain Bain.
Yeah, sure, looking back on it. Sloan told him about the new will and about marrying Clorinda. What we didn't know, of course, was that Sloan had cut Bannister off in the new will. So Bannister figured he'd murder the old gentleman, take the will out of the wall safe in the room, and get away with it even if Clorinda did tell everyone about it. But it wasn't there, so he took the topaz flower to make it look like robbery.
And when I came in the room, he locked
me
in.
Yeah, that's right. Then he had to get rid of the topaz flower. So he dressed up in women's clothes. But he'd forgotten that Clorinda remembered the Christmas party and his act.
And she was going to pass him the note when she came here.
Yes, only he got here first. Well, see you at the trial. And if you ever want a job on the force, Wally...
Oh, no, not me, Captain. I'm going to be pretty busy looking after the topaz flower.
Hmm?
Sure. Belongs to Natalie now. And...
Oh. Yeah, I get it. Well, I look pretty good in soup and fish.
What do you mean, Captain?
Oh, pardon me. I just mean, in case you want somebody to guard the wedding presents. Well, goodbye for now.
And so closes tonight's Crime Club book, The Topaz Flower, based on a story by Charlotte M. Russell. Willis Cooper did the radio adaptation. Roger Bauer produced and directed. Raymond Edward Johnson played Captain Bain. Chet Stratton was Wally. And Julie Stevens was Natalie. The cast included Eleanor Phelps, Reese Taylor, Barry Thompson, Irene Hubbard, Paul Hammond, and Ed Latimer. Oh, I beg your pardon. Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Yes, come over a week from tonight. Good. We have a very intriguing story of a missing person that was found by death. It's called Epitaph for Lydia, by Virginia Roth. In the meantime... Well, in the meantime, there is a new Crime Club book available this week and every week at bookstores everywhere. Yes, it's available now. Fine. And we look for you next week.
This program came from New York. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
always my beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
In the time of April, Broadway walks a street dappled with sunlight, the time of the breeze sighing in from the river, touching your cheek and making a smile. It's a time to wake up to and keep on dreaming, of far places and silver bells and the slow curve of ocean. The month of being young again and search again. The thing to do is to give up to it. Except about the job. The rent to pay, buy the beer, leave the tip, meet the installment. It's April, but you've got to make a living. Maybe next year, kid. And through the Venetian blinds, the morning sunlight patterned itself on the floor across the rattan furniture. In the place where I was, four stories up, recreation room, Globe Secretarial School, where the girl's sprawled body was, and the two bewildered people.
You can ask me all the questions you want. All I can tell you is this girl's name, Lois Conrad.
And she's a student here at your school, Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes. I registered her myself about 3 months ago.
Perhaps I can tell you a little something, Mr. Clover.
All right, Mr. Hewitt, what?
Miss Conrad is a student in my typing class. Her first class this morning at 9:30. She didn't show up.
Who reported this girl stabbed, Mr. Hewitt?
Miss Lindsay did. She's my best pupil.
Yes, one of the finest we've ever had here at Globe.
Well, tell me how Miss Lindsay found her.
Well, I suppose she finished the typing test early, came up here to the rec room to relax, then she came running down to the office.
She came running to me, Mr. Clover. It was I who called the police.
That was a little before 10:30 this morning, wasn't it? About a half hour ago.
Yes, that's right. I told you that 3 times now. I can show you where I've got the time I called jotted down on my desk calendar.
You act as registrar here?
Dean. I also teach shorthand and bookkeeping.
Just your husband and yourself run this school?
Would you like to see our license?
Please, Sylvia.
Isn't it bad enough what the news of this poor girl's death's going to do to us? But he has
Sylvia,
to
Sylvia, he has his job.
Yes, Carl. All right, Carl. It just seems to me this poor girl lying
there. One more thing. Anyone could come up to this recreation room, couldn't he? I mean, an outsider, he could just walk in here, isn't that so?
Oh, yes. Yes, we always have open house to the public. Anyone can walk in here anytime and observe our methods.
That poor girl lying there. She should be covered.
And the woman moves quickly through the sunless hall, darts into a room, comes back, covers with a shawl the intrusion of death. But for an instant, lets her hand tremble on the texture of the girl's face. Youth stilled, beauty already drained away. Then the trembling moves from her hand, seizes her body, and her husband calls
Sylvia,
her name.
Stop it!
The command stills the flurry of shock in her. Then follow them to their office. Consider the card taken from a wooden file cabinet. Note the name of the nearest relative, the dead girl's father, their address, and leave. Leave the place where the newest registration is death. And on a side street in the West 30s, be told by the dwellers of the stoop that Mr. Conrad was upstairs, third floor, cleaning, mopping, dusting, making a show of earning his keep. If you got a complaint, mister, it'll fall on cold ears. Walk the stairs of a brownstone whose fire escape doors are open to the gusts of spring. Walk them and find the man whose child lies dead.
You want to move over, little mister? I want to vacuum the rug there. We're here in the way.
Sure.
All right, it's done. Brought up the nap a little, too, huh? What there is of it?
I'm from the police, Danny Clover.
Wait till I shut off the Hoover, huh? Yeah. Something I can do for you, mister? Room, apartment?
No.
You from the management? You come to check up on me? Look, mister, how much can you squeeze out of a super? I do the best I know how.
I guess you didn't hear me. I said I was from the police. It's about your daughter.
Lois? What right have you got to come snooping around here about Lois? She's a good girl. My Lois is the best. I'll smash anybody who... What about Lois?
No one called you? No one told you?
Tell me what? Tell me what about my kid? Tell me!
She's dead. She was found murdered this morning at her school.
I got the whole hallway still to do, mister. Then upstairs. You won't mind, huh?
Tell me something about her, Mr. Conrad. Something that'll give us a lead.
Came home late last night, went to her room. I almost got out of bed to go say goodnight to her, but I was tired, worn out with... Just worn out.
She was out late, alone?
Alone, Lois? Why alone when she could have anyone she wanted? She was out with Frankie. Frankie Wilson, her steady, works the boat stand in Central Park. I bet that's where they were, sitting by the lake or boating. It was a real nice night last night for things like that.
Did you see her this morning? Talk to her?
No. This job, I get up real early, set the alarm for Lois so she won't be late for school. It's never going to be late anymore.
I'm sorry, Mr. Conrad.
Lois!
And leave, and the ride now to Central Park, and the roadside rich with blossoms of spring, babies in perambulators, delicate grass and buds, the chattering of birds and nursemaids. The benches are warmed by the afternoon sun, and a girl and a boy sit together in a place speckled by branch shadows. Park near the boating lake and walk the little way you have to go. The boat shed gleams with new paint. The smell of it mixes well with the scent of growing things. Your name, Frankie Wilson?
Yeah, I'm Frankie.
My name's Danny Clover, police. You know a girl named...
Lois? Lois Conrad, sure. Only no more, she's dead. Oh, come on. Just because I know something, a few million people in New York also know, don't mean I killed her. I send the kid out for chocolate and a newspaper for my lunch. That's how I know.
Her father told me you used to see quite a lot of Lois.
Yeah, that's right. You want me to tell you about her?
Uh-huh.
She was a cinch to wind up dead. You want me to tell you why? She'd pick a man like she picked me. Lean her face up close and smile. Woman's smile. You know. A few minutes later, the smile turns into a laugh. Ha-ha type laugh. Right in your face.
When was the last time you saw her, Frankie?
Last night. I rode her around the lake. Very romantic, it says. Drifty and dreamy. Then we got out on the boat and sat down on a bench. That one. We sat down and she smiled that way. Real close. And then she looked at her watch and she says, "Golly day, Frankie, what do you know? It's midnight already. I got to go."
You take her home?
Nope. Last night was not my privilege. She got up, patted my cheek, told me I was a nice boy, and left.
She says she was going home?
Didn't say. Only the sudden hurry she was in, I doubt it. Her father don't keep tabs on her. Well, unless you're going to arrest me, I'll be right here.
It's Gino, Danny. May I come in?
Yes, come in, Gino.
Kill me, Danny. Ridicule me.
What?
Today, my mood is faint. This morning, Mrs. Tartaglia kissed me goodbye in a frolicky way, pierced my lapel with a blushing blossom.
I'm happy for you, Gino.
Which is why I wish to rid myself of the chores of the day as quickly as possible, so I can get home, maybe a little earlier, and take Mrs. Tartaglia for our annual evening spring walk along the river, leaving the children to their devices at home.
I'm with you in everything you say, Gino.
I'm glad you see my side of it, Danny. Therefore, to the affairs of the day, post haste. Detective Muggerman interrogated that Miss Lindsay, who found the murdered girl, Lois Conrad, at great length in the interrogation room.
Did she come up with anything new?
Nothing. Only that she corrected Detective Muggerman's proper usage of the English language. The good detective's rebuttal to this, I would have liked to have seen. Other students and faculty also interrogated. Nothing new also.
Anything else?
Anything else is this transcript of the shorthand notes found in the notebook of the school locker of the deceased Lois Conrad, which I have edited and transcribed in the longhand herewith.
For shorthand exercises?
F and Eatmus. But among them, this pithy quotation. Quote, "He can't keep from looking at me. He's dying to be with me. Ha ha. Anytime I want." Close quote.
Let's see that.
Here, Danny. You know, never in my personal years in business college, Danny, did I have such shorthand exercises to pot...
Danny Clover speaking.
This is Mrs. Hewitt of the Globe Secretarial School. Will you come here, please? My office right away. I have something to tell you.
Well, can't you tell me over the phone, Mrs. Hewitt?
I could, but it doesn't seem quite the proper way to name Lois's murderer. I can expect you right away, Mr. Glover.
That's exactly why I asked you to come down here to my office, Mr. Glover, while I'm alone, while my husband's teaching. I want a name for you, Lois Conrad's murderer.
Just one thing before you tell me, Mrs. Hewitt. Are you just accusing somebody, or do you know for sure?
I know for sure.
All right, who killed Lois Conrad?
I did.
What?
You'd better arrest me. I killed Lois Conrad. I stabbed her to death.
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. Every weekday, Arthur Godfrey and his gang make merry. Then on Sundays, over most of these same stations, CBS Radio brings you a half-hour digest of the whole week's top fun-making. Be sure you're listening when King Arthur Godfrey's Roundtable holds court on CBS Radio tomorrow.
When the sun comes to Broadway, the street is wide enough for everybody. Blondes in convertibles, Pekingese in taxis, and sailors against lampposts. It's the place to come to for one reason or another. To be a tourist, to make a pitch, buy a bargain, get cheated, insulted, or have your picture taken. When nighttime comes, walk beneath the special moon that hangs high over Broadway. Run with it. Get lost in the shadows of a cloud that scuds across its face. And the night ends with a memory, depending upon what you paid for it, what you wanted, and what you got. And it's a room of a million memories where I was. Police interrogation room where Detective Mugovan was and a woman who had confessed to a murder.
You've been very kind, both of you.
Thank you.
Tell us about Lois Conrad.
I didn't like her. I stabbed her.
Lots of people don't like people, Mrs. Hewitt, but they don't go around stabbing. You must have had some particular reason.
I didn't like her.
You hated her?
If you want to quibble. Could I have a drink, please?
Mugovan, sure.
No, I don't want water. I want a drink.
Sorry, Mrs. Hewitt. Mrs. Hewitt, do you drink a lot?
What do you mean?
Well, you're a drunkard. That's what Mr. Clover means.
Whatever gave you an idea like that? Because I want a drink? Because I'm nervous?
I apologize, Mrs. Hewitt.
I'm not a drunkard.
We've only gotten one fact out of you, Mrs. Hewitt. You killed Lois Conrad because you didn't like her.
She was a pretty girl. A lot of pretty girls at your school. I talked to quite a few of them. I asked them about you, too.
They liked me, didn't they?
Some did, some didn't. Some had no opinion. A lot of them said you were a jealous woman.
Yes, that's right. I am.
Jealous of Lois Conrad?
Yes.
That's why you killed her?
Yes. I walked past the recreation room, and there she was lying down. I went in and stabbed her.
Where'd you get the knife?
Why, it was right there on the table.
Pen knife on the table. That's equipment in your recreation room?
I bought it a few days ago at one of the dime stores. I must have left it on the table.
Which dime store?
Well, I don't remember.
You just picked it up and stabbed her with it, is that right?
Yes, yes.
Then what did you do?
I went back down to my office and waited for someone to discover the body.
I see.
See you a minute out here, Danny?
Sure. What's up, Jim? A
few things, Danny. Number one, no prints raised on that penknife. And number two, the elevator boy at the Hewitt apartment discloses that on the night preceding the murder, Mr. Hewitt, at 1 o'clock in the morning, did walk his dog, a cute cocker, for an hour. Which, the elevator boy remarked, was a strange custom, since the cocker was usually walked between the hours of 6 and 7. And that is my report for now.
Thanks, Gino. Lock her up, Mugovan. I'll call her husband. She can see him tomorrow.
And this way, Mrs. Hewitt.
The residence of Mr. Carl Hewitt?
Yes.
This is Danny Clover, Mr. Hewitt. Your wife has just confessed to the murder of Lois Conrad.
What?
Your wife just confessed to the murder of Lois.
Yes. When can I see her?
Tomorrow. I'll call you.
Thank you.
Then walk over, turn out the ceiling light, and for a while stand in darkness. Because you're tired. Because the day had begun in violence, had drifted you across a city on death's wind. Had ended here, in this room, where the 150-watt bulb had been bright on a woman's hatred, a woman's confession to murder. And leave it. Leave the darkness. In the morning, go back to a tenement in the West 30s. Find the man you wanted in a basement room whose shades are drawn against the street edge of a sunlit day.
Why do you come back, Mr. Clover? What have we got to talk about us two?
Your daughter, Mr. Conrad. What time did you say Lois got home the night?
What have we got to talk about, you and me?
You said you heard her come in. You wanted to say goodnight to her, but you were too tired. What time was that?
Doesn't matter what time she got home, late, early, with the milkman, with the kids playing stickball in the street in the evening. That's your business?
Her boyfriend, Frankie, told me you never made it yours.
Frankie said that?
He told me another thing. He said he didn't think Lois was going home when she left him that night.
He's a liar. Good old Frankie is a liar, a yard wide and all strength.
Maybe he wasn't lying. Maybe Lois didn't get home.
You're in the way here, Mr. Honest. I'd like to get some shut-eye, if you don't mind. I've been trying to sleep, and I... He wasn't lying. Not Frankie.
Tell me, man.
You gotta understand something. You come here and hit me with my kid is dead. I don't feel the need to tell you Lois don't come home nights. You fellas get impressions when you hear things like that. Didn't want you to have that for Lois. A good kid, my girl.
Did she do that often, Mr. Conrad? There were other times she stayed out all night?
There you go, giving in to the impression.
Just answer me.
Yeah, she did it often because I let her, because she stayed with her girlfriend. I know because I called once late at night and Peg said my kid was sound asleep on the couch in the living room. I checked, I tell you.
Peg?
Peg Lindsay. Goes to school with Lois. Real nice girl. Decent. Stays in her own house nights.
Peg Lindsay was the girl who found your daughter.
Did she? Well, what do you know about that?
So leave and out to the squad car. Call headquarters on the intercom and leave word that Detective Margaret is to meet you at noon in front of the Globe Secretarial School. Then walk now to a corner fruit juice stand. Refreshment and a glance at the morning paper. News from spring training camps and spring maneuvers. Conference tables and tennis courts and horses, dark and those left at the post. Back to the squad car and to West 49th Street. And Detective Margavin is waiting.
Miss Lindsay. Sure, I can point her out. I talked to her before.
Wait a few minutes until the young lady's enrolled at the school. Run down the steps and down the street for their lunch.
That one, Danny. Glasses and a poodle haircut.
Thanks. Wait here, Margavin. Miss Lindsay?
Oh.
My name's Danny Clover. I'm from the police. May I buy your lunch?
Of course you may not. What do you want?
Maybe to arrest you, Miss Lindsay. I've made up my mind.
Please.
Please what?
So many of my classmates, they're looking. They know I never talk to men. Strangers. What do you want? You can't arrest me. You know you can't.
I can, because I've got an idea you've got more to say than you said to Detective Mugovan. Miss Lindsay, you fall under the heading of coincidence.
Hurry up. Please. What do you want?
You were the girl who found Lois Conrad dead. You're also the girl Lois used to spend a lot of time with. Her father told me Lois used to spend nights at your house.
She did not. Sometimes she'd come over and I'd do her homework for her. And I used to ask her to stay because she looked so tired. She never would.
She told her father she stayed at your house. Now you tell me she didn't. So you lied to her father. Where did she stay?
She was crazy. There was a hotel down the street from my house. She used to leave me. She left me alone and stayed there. Please go. Everybody's staring.
Night clerk's got to sleep, Mr. Clover. I don't care if you're police or not.
Now, look, Mr. Drake, you...
You had no right downstairs to the desk to send you up here and wake me up. That's trouble the whole staff here at the region. They got no consideration. Down home...
This is only going to take a minute, Mr. Drake. Just a couple of questions.
I'm going to fall right over where I stand. I'm so sleepy.
A girl named Lois Conrad registered here the night before last, didn't she?
Lois Conrad. Yeah, sure. Yeah, she's been here lots of times. Tall girl. Blonde, carried books, no bag. Room 212. I'm going to fall right over.
What time did she register?
I think it was a little 4-1. She's a strange one.
Oh?
Very strange, very.
Like how, Mr. Drake?
Well, she registered, and she placed a call from the desk phone. The number she was calling didn't answer for a long time, but she told me to keep trying, which I did.
And you were successful, Mr. Drake?
Well, yes, I was. The number answered. I heard Miss Conrad tell her party where she was. Then she hung up. Then she left the call for 8:30 next morning, said that nobody was to be permitted to disturb her till then.
Did anyone disturb her?
About 1:30, a man come in with a little cocker dog. My, he was cute. He asked for Miss Conrad, but as per her instructions, I sent him away. And now, sir, will you please say pleasant dreams to me and let me go back to sleep?
Mrs. Hewitt in there in the visitor's room, Gino?
Yeah, Danny, she is.
Did you call her husband and tell him to get down here?
Well, he should be here any minute now.
When he comes, tell the guard to let him in.
Okay.
Hello, Mrs. Hewitt. How do you feel?
Oh, I was expecting Carl. I want to talk to my husband.
He'll be here.
Did you tell him I'd confessed to killing Lois?
Yes, I did.
What did he say?
He sounded shocked.
Yes. Yes, he would.
Mrs. Hewitt, I've been checking on the background of Lois Conrad. I can understand your dislike of her.
You don't blame me for killing her, do you?
I didn't say that. I've found what kind of girl she was, and I can understand why another woman would dislike her.
That's right. The world's better off without her. She was... Carl. Carl, you came to me.
You know what happened, Sylvia. When I got the call, when the police phoned and said you'd killed that girl, I stood there. I was shocked, dazed. And then, well, it wasn't until this morning I opened my eyes and I was lying there on the floor.
That's right, Mrs. Hewitt. Your husband didn't cry out or scream. He was very brave about it.
Can't we be alone, Mr. Glover?
Right not. These aren't regular visiting hours and there's no regular guard.
Carl, Carl.
It'll be all right, Sylvia. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do everything I can to make it easier for you.
You don't understand, Carla. I confess that I killed that girl. I confess.
I know that the police told me. I'll do everything I can.
What? What are you going to do?
I'll get a lawyer and do all the things a husband is supposed to do.
You don't understand at all, do you? I confess.
I know, dear.
She hasn't signed a confession yet, Mr. Hewitt, but that's just a formality. In a case like this, your wife will throw herself on the mercy of the court. What the sentence will be is at the discretion of the court.
And I can be sentenced for 10 years, or 20, or the rest of my life, or the electric chair.
Poor Sylvia. Poor, poor Sylvia.
But Carl!
Mr. Clover, I don't feel it's good to be here with her. I guess I'd better go now.
You'd let it happen to me, Carl. You'd let me go to the electric chair?
If you killed...
Your wife didn't kill that girl, Mr. Hewitt.
Did you hear what he said, Carl? Did you hear him?
What are you doing to me? What are you two doing?
I confessed because I loved you, Carl. Because I wanted to show you I loved you. Show you what a wife is to a man. Not some skinny girl in your class. A wife, Carl. Someone who loves. You know what love is? What I did for you!
You know what your wife is saying, Mr. Hewitt?
Yes, I do. She's rescinding her confession.
You don't love me. You haven't loved me for 20 years. 20 years I had to fight for you against those young snips in your class. I confessed to a murder I didn't do. For you! For you!
She's crazy, Mr. Colbert.
She's not, Mr. Hewitt. I doubted all along she committed that murder. Her prints weren't on that knife. Her answers were vague. Like I said, I had doubts, so I spent the day getting proof.
Proof of what? What she said?
That's right, what she said. You killed Lois Conrad. She called you from a hotel. You left your house with a dog. that later you showed up at the hotel. Lois wouldn't see you. How long had that been going on, Mr. Hewitt?
You don't know what that girl was.
But you knew. You found out. And still you kept trying. And still she kept laughing
what
at you.
What did you want me to do? Did you want me to confess that I killed her?
Yes, yes! But it's too late now. This policeman knows you're a murderer. Don't you see, Carl? Don't you see what I wanted? Your love. Your protest against my going to prison for something you'd done. You should have come running and said, no, no, my wife didn't kill. I did. Just that, Carl. Now you'll rot in jail. No one will grieve. Not me.
It's the gathering place of all the sleepless nights, this Broadway, and all the unwept tears. A place to come to, erase what's happened, start all over, make a memory. The street is littered with odds and ends. Fit them together in any design you want. Only nothing slips into place. It's Broadway. The gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway. My beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia and Jack Crucian as Mugovan. The program was produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with musical score composed and conducted by Alexander Courage. In tonight's story, Paula Winslow was heard as Sylvia, Ted Osborne as Carl, and Lou Merrill as Mr. Conrad. Featured in the cast were Truda Marson and Shep Mencken. If you wish, CBS Radio can follow you from room to room, accompany you in your car, even walk down to the seashore with you. This year, CBS Radio's intensive convention and election coverage, aimed at bringing you all the facts for your all-important decision at the ballot box, can follow you from place to place as you choose to listen. Keep tuned to CBS Radio for the most thorough pre-election coverage in history. And make sure your home radio, car radio, portable sets are all working so you miss none of our important election features. Bill Anders speaking. And remember, Robert Trout reports the news of the world every Sunday on the CBS Radio Network.
That's Case Closed for this week. I'll be back next Wednesday with a story from Rogues Gallery and one from This Is Your FBI. In between now and then, you can find past episodes of Case Closed, more old-time radio at relicradio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream there and a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make this all possible. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.